together, with the name of love above all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome, my friend, to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and here we are in the Twin Cities. It's still warm, it's still summer, still State Fair, if you're listening to this. And we have a great show for you. In the midst of all of it, we're still going to talk about evangelization. So much to talk about. And today we're going to be focusing on dealing with bad news, or dealing with news that you didn't particularly want to hear, and how do you deal with it? I think one of the toughest things for people to deal with at times is looking around them, like at the State Fair. Maybe you went to the State Fair and you got your Pronto Pup, and you got all your milk you can drink, and you got your corn on the cob and the curds and everything else. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you can go to something like the State Fair and you see hundreds of thousands of people walking around seemingly happy. And in the midst of that group, there are people that are dealing with very serious situations in their life, like recent diagnosis of cancer, or maybe there was a split in the family, or they lost one of their children, or they lost their job or something like that. And you can't tell just by walking up and down and that the people coming towards you have a problem on a stick. You know, and that's what we have, you know, when we hear the difficult news. But we're going to talk about what to do with that today, and how to see that as an opportunity to love, and as an opportunity to offer up our suffering and our difficulties in union with Christ. We got a couple of really great guests. Rhonda Zwaber is going to be with us, and she is the former pastoral care associate at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Prior Lake. And she was diagnosed with cancer a while ago, and we're gonna check in with her and see what went on in her heart when she heard that. How did it affect her life? How did it affect her faith? And she has some good news for you today to encourage you. We're also going to talk with Jeff Schaefer today, and he has a very, very powerful story. He lost his wife Michelle to breast cancer just a few years ago, and then not too long ago, his daughter Paige was diagnosed with leukemia. And we're going to be talking with Jeff about how do you deal with that when you are living with people who have had difficult news. And as you know, the difficult news that you hear from loved ones does become yours, because we suffer with them, we love them, and there's that solidarity that we have with them, and you have a role to play also in your loved ones' lives. And then we're going to do a little catechesis. Catechesis is a big fancy word for we're going to do a little teaching on this today, and try to bring some meaning to it and encouragement. You know, it reminds me so much of Luke chapter 24. You might be familiar with that chapter. It's the Emmaus Road chapter. And it's after Jesus was taken to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was taken, beaten, and crucified. And you have to look at that from the standpoint of the disciples. They were all in. You know, I mean, they gave up everything to follow Jesus, and suddenly they got the bad news that, yes, he has been crucified, and it doesn't look like he's coming back. And their whole lives changed at that point. And what you see in Luke chapter 24 is you see a couple people walking away from Jerusalem, away from the action, away from the temple, away from the sacrifice, away from the teaching, away from the celebration, away from it all. And they're discouraged. They're discouraged because of the bad news that they heard. And who do they run into on the road of bad news towards Emmaus? But Jesus himself. That they don't recognize him as Jesus. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever started walking away from everything because you were so discouraged about the bad news and it didn't seem that God really cared? And on that road where you were thinking about the bad news, you ran into Jesus, but you didn't know it at first, and it was a friend. Maybe it was a book, maybe it was a billboard, maybe it was a radio show, and you didn't know that it was Jesus that was talking to you at the moment, but then suddenly your eyes are opened and you realize, he's with me. He's with me still. And that's what happened to those individuals on the Emmaus Road. They were walking away from Jerusalem, and they ran into Jesus, and Jesus began to explain to them that he had to suffer. And he explained to them about suffering going all the way back into the Old Testament and clear up to his life. And then when they stopped and they broke bread, that's the Eucharist, that's the Mass, their eyes were opened and they saw him. And what's interesting after that is that they head back to Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? When you understand the plan of God and how your suffering fits into it, you won't walk away, but you'll walk to him. And that's something that Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said. He said, you know, suffering has two different outcomes. You either walk away or you walk to as a result of your suffering. And you know what my prayer is for you, my friend, today? I hope you walk to Jesus. I hope you walk to him, and I hope that you experience that embrace, because it's only in the suffering of Christ that we truly find the meaning for our own life. So you stick with us today. We've got some really beautiful testimonies, and we're going to investigate this together. Hey, by the way, next week on the Rediscover Hour, I got to tell you, it's a little sneak preview here. We've got Archbishop Hebda. He's going to be joining us, and he's going to be talking about, that's going to be on, is that on the 19th? I think that's on the 18th. I got to look at the schedule. I'll get back to you on that. But anyway, we had a wonderful interview with him just a few days ago, and I think you're going to be encouraged by the words that he shared. Big shout out to all my friends in Green Bay. I was in there in Green Bay last night at the Legatus meeting speaking, and Bishop Ricken was out on the Lambeau Field because it was the Bishop's charity fundraiser, so I guess he threw out the first football. And they made some money for charity over there yesterday. So good people over in Green Bay, which, of course, is the headquarters for Relevant Radio. I'm Jeff Cavins. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. You stick with us. We're going to talk about overcoming difficult times. Call up your friends. Tell them to tune in right now. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hey, Jim here, lead innovation engineer at Bridgestone, where we're changing the game in tire performance. And right now, Bridgestone has an offer you don't want to miss. Buy four select tires through September 30th, and you can get a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card by mail. Visit your Bridgestone retailer for details.
Offer valid through 9/30/15. Prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Expiration applies. See store for details.
Westside Tire has Bridgestone tires to fit your car, truck, or SUV. Visit them or call 763-423-2100. They'll take care of you.
One thing for certain is the weather will be changing soon. Another certainty is most of us put off maintenance on our cars, trucks, or SUVs. Take care of basic maintenance now, like tires, brakes, or alignment, at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes to fit every vehicle and service people who can get you in and out with a quick and affordable visit. Westside Tire is the choice of Relevant Radio listeners. 763-420-2100. Just 15 minutes west of the metro. Another thing for certain, I'll take care of you.
You can borrow mine when your hope is gone. Borrow mine when you can't go on. Cause the world will not defeat you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, where today and this week we're serving up hope on a stick. Hope on a stick for everybody listening to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, have you ever bought a car, and or you were in the market for buying a car, and you started looking at a particular brand, and then for the next 2 weeks they seem to be everywhere? Have you ever noticed that? That's what happens to me every time we get a family car. If we think we got to get a new car now, you know. So if we think we're going to buy a car, we start looking at brands, and then at every stoplight there's that car. And I noticed that also about suffering, you know, is that when you go through something in your life, whether it's a separation or it's a sickness or a loss of a job or something like that, isn't it uncanny how you start running into other people who are going through the same thing. I think that's a design by God, personally. I think it's God. He's just opening up the door for you to be encouraged, because he has all kinds of people out there who have gone through difficult times, and they've learned so much and become more like Christ, and he wants them to meet you. One such person is a good friend of mine, Rhonda Zweber. Rhonda is just a beautiful woman of God who was diagnosed with cancer a number of years ago. And when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, Rhonda's faith really began to grow, and she created the Pink Prayer Warriors ministry at her church to support and pray for other cancer warriors. And she shares her trust and faith in God's plan for her, and she is currently, well, I think she actually is now the former pastoral care associate at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Prior Lake. But she's got so many wonderful things going. Her first book, Mommy's Hats, is her cancer story through the eyes of her youngest daughter. She's married for 22 years and has three beautiful daughters. Rhonda, welcome to Rediscover.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
There's so much to say about you just in the introduction. And it's been a privilege to know you and to hear your story. And of course, we're here today to encourage people and give them hope on a stick, so to speak, from the state fair. But tell us a little bit about what happened to you originally, the story, and where you're at right now.
Well, I was diagnosed in 2007, and life was going really well, and I was really healthy. I was very healthy. But it doesn't matter, because cancer doesn't discriminate. Mm-hmm. And so, amazingly, although my faith wasn't very strong at all at that time, an instant peace came upon me, and I just felt I could trust God, and knowing that breast cancer has come a long way in treatment, I remember thinking, I'm not going to die from this, and I just needed to get through the treatment. And so a year of treatment, and I had the full meal deal.
Okay.
I'm a McDonald's junkie, I'm sorry. But I had chemo, and I had radiation, and I had a lumpectomy, and I had bilateral, and I had reconstruction, and so I had a little bit of everything. And so I experienced a lot of different things, and a lot of other women are going through that at the same time, different combinations of treatment. And I just thought that I was going to be able to use that experience to help others.
And how long ago was that you were diagnosed?
2007.
That's 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious, because I'm not in the same boat. We're in the same ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a boat is a little bit more of you and I went exactly through the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but we're on the same ship, and mm-hmm. that is I was told that I had melanoma a couple years ago, and had surgery for that. And so afterwards you wonder and you wait, but hearing the word cancer is something that you know everybody thinks about one time or another, that if I hear that word, how am I going to respond? And it is numbing at mm-hmm. first when the doctor says that to you, and you never know quite how you're going to respond. How much thought did you give to the what ifs of life before your diagnosis?
I remember looking at women that I could tell were in treatment, or someone who was suffering. I could just see that, and I would think, there is no way I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. And, of course, I was pleasantly surprised that we did it. You know, I did it with the help of my family and friends, and with God with me, and it is such a doable experience. Mm-hmm. You can do this.
Right. And I would concur, and that's mm-hmm. what I think too, is that you always imagine, well, what would it be like when you hear those words? And I know that I felt a little numb at first. I did, because you know why and this is just my own kind of thoughts on it. You know, Ecclesiastes says that eternity is written in our hearts, and deep down inside of us there is that spiritual DNA where we know, even if we're not cognizant, we know we're made forever. We know we're made for eternity. We know that we're made for heaven. And when you hear the word cancer coming out of a doctor's mouth, it's almost like the story is over. it's shortcut. It's like you're getting on an Amtrak in New York to go to California, mm-hmm. and suddenly in Bozeman, Montana, they say, you're all going to have to get off now. You mean we're not going to reach our destiny? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it shocks us so much. Do you remember that moment and exactly how you felt when the doctor told you that?
Well, it was over the phone.
Okay.
And
me too.
We weren't sure how that was all going to work. If he was going to call us and say, come in to the office, I'm going to tell you some bad news, mm-hmm. or how it worked. But it was, I didn't use the word numb, but I kind of expected it to be that diagnosis, mm-hmm. leading up to it, the days, the tasks that were happening. I went right into listening mode. I got a paper and pen, and I started writing everything I was listing down, and Val got on the other line.
Your husband?
Yes, and so that he could hear it as well, because I knew I wasn't going to remember half of it. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, he said he was sorry for the phone call, and we hung up, and Val and I hugged, and I actually remember Sally, who was 4 at that time, saw us hugging, and she's like, well, I want to get in on it. And so without even knowing what was going on, we were in an embrace, and the grace that was put upon us right from the beginning of just being able to accept that, it was instant. And I look back at that, and that is pretty amazing, mm-hmm. that that's the way it happened.
Were you aware when you heard the word cancer and the days, the weeks, and the few months following, were you aware of the grace of God at that point, that there was something different that you had not experienced before?
Just an inkling. It took me years to figure and to go back and think of those days and to realize he was there every step of the way. But there was a trust. There mm-hmm. was a trust and a knowing that I was going to be okay. And I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And so that was just an amazing feeling and comfort right off the bat.
Walk me through it's been since, 2007?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, it's several years now, mm-hmm. quite a few years. How has your relationship changed with the Lord with this? Because you and I both, and others, once you hear that word cancer, mm-hmm. it's almost like you have this this traveling companion. Mm-hmm. That speaks to you once in a while and can keep you up at night sometimes. How has your relationship with the Lord changed over the months and years?
Well, tremendously. Again, I was, barely, I would go to Sunday Mass and we would say grace before meals, but not outside the house. And it was just, we were just going along.
Mm-hmm.
And that just unlocked my heart. My diagnosis unlocked my heart. It just kept opening up and seeing the goodness that he was, presenting to me even in the cancer treatment, of course there's the doctor, there's the chemotherapy and all those scientific inventions and creations, but yet that faith just kept growing and growing and the trust kept developing, and I could just see the amount of goodness that was laid out before me. Mm-hmm. And so I was seeing life with a different set of eyes, mm-hmm. by that time.
So there's a big difference in Rhonda Zweber today versus 2007.
Huge,
yeah. And how much would you credit the cross of cancer?
A lot of it.
It changed you then.
It definitely changed me. Someone said that they saw my faith growing before my diagnosis. I'm not aware of that. I don't remember that. Uh-huh. But it must have been inside me, because it just didn't create like that. It's just been there. But this, I credit cancer to a lot of my development and my desire to have this relationship with Christ.
So you had been married, 13, 14 years, something like that, mm-hmm. to Val at the time. You have a 4-year-old daughter. When people suddenly find out about cancer, or they find out about a real difficulty, like the loss of a job or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. You're not alone. You have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing for you to carry the cross of cancer and to bring that to the Lord. But talk to us a little bit about what it was like to also be a mother and a wife. Did that complicate it? Did you want to protect your daughter at the time from this?
Mm-hmm. Well, Val and I knew right away that we wanted to be open with the girls. We have three daughters, mm-hmm. and so we did not want them to imagine anything. If we didn't have an answer, we wanted to find it for them. And so we were open with them right off the bat. I would tell you, Jeff, that the hardest part of having cancer is telling anyone.
Sure.
Others, your loved ones, my mom and dad, my in-laws, the girls. And we've had to tell them that a few times. Mm-hmm. And that's the look on their face is always harder than the cross that I'm carrying. Mm-hmm. And that's so I'd much rather have the cancer than have to be the caregiver. But the whole family is involved. They are all affected. And we just have to keep the lines of communication open so that we can see or hear what they're feeling and thinking so that they don't go into the dark space and think, is mom going to die?
Right, right.
And so I think we did a pretty good job of that. They've been very, very strong, accepting. I remember a day that life was going so well through my treatment that I was almost mad that life was so normal. I'm like, wait, mom has cancer. Can you do the dishes, please? Or can you clean up your, clothes and things like that? So I reflect on that thinking, huh, what a blessing.
So you didn't give up your vocation?
No. No.
That's something I often tell people if I have a chance to talk about suffering is that one of the things you have to remember is just because something happened to you doesn't mean that you can just say to God, all right, I'm not going to be a mom now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a wife now. I've got an excuse, got a real good one. I got a note from God that I don't have to go to that class anymore. And that's not true, is it?
No.
In fact, I have found in not only in my life, but in the lives of other people that I know that have had medical problems, mm-hmm. Like cancer and so forth, that it's actually an opportunity to press further into your vocation mm-hmm. as mother.
Mm-hmm.
You got more to teach now. You got more examples to set.
Exactly.
Did you find that?
Yes, absolutely. People were looking at you.
Yep. You're on stage.
Seeing how you're looking. Are you too thin? Are you, mm-hmm. eyelashes are falling out, things like that. And they have a little bit of pity, but I'm like, okay, look at me though. What I'm doing, I'm still doing.
Right.
And so right off the bat, you're like, I'm setting an example too.
And the truth of the matter is that we're all terminal.
That's right.
All of us. It's a matter of is it this year, next year, 20 years from now, or 40 or 50 years mm-hmm. from now, whatever it might be. But every one of us is going to face the day, mm-hmm. and we're going to face the ultimate question of eternity, and where we're going to go and who we're going to serve. Did you feel in some ways that, and I remember talking to Laura Sobiec about this with Zach,
mm-hmm.
that and she encouraged Zach this way, that she said, Zach, your friends at school, they don't know what's going to happen. They're preparing for college. You're preparing for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going
mm-hmm.
to happen. Do you feel like that in some ways you've been blessed because it kind of forced you to think about your life in a more intentional way?
I think so. With my recurrence, that really pressed forward of, the end, my ultimate destination. And so that was even a boost of, I got to make sure I've got my ducks in a row and I'm following the Lord and, mm-hmm. and making sure I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing to earn that space.
Give us a few disciplines that you found particularly helpful over the last number of years in dealing with cancer, and not to mention just life. I mean, mm-hmm. Life goes on, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? You
mm-hmm.
know, the bills are there and the kids have school events and you got to drive and so forth. And shop for groceries. But what are a couple things, some disciplines that you would share with our audience that you would say, these are some things that really helped me, I think, in mm-hmm. my relationship?
Well, excuse me, along with starting to go to adoration, daily mass,
mm-hmm.
Daily rosary, the readings of the day. I have a lot of different things that I like to do, different prayer cards for the girls and our warriors, we pray for them. But it's a good routine, and I do switch it up because I want to make sure that I'm not just rote. So Jesus calling, mm-hmm. is a fabulous book. But I do have to say, Jeff, that you were very important in my starting of my Bible study career by going to your studies. And a lot of my journals, I reflected on my day with you or my, you know, the hours with you. So that has really been important to me. But at different times, different things reach me and touch me now that would have just walked right by me. I would have not even noticed what they were offering to me.
So your eyes are a little bit more wide open now?
Yes.
A little more aware of life around you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In the smallest of things, in each and every day.
And do you run into other people now like I was mentioning earlier, you're going to buy a car, let's say mm-hmm. you're going to buy a Chevy, and all of a sudden that model you see everywhere, and do you meet a lot of people now?
I do. I look forward to going to my treatments every other week because I'm asking God to put somebody there that I need to be talking with. And there have been people there every week that I've been there, someone new, and it just has been a pleasure to be able to introduce myself and just talk to them a little bit and see kind of if they could use an extra prayer for them.
Tell us a little bit about the Pink Prayer Warriors. I like that name.
mm-hmm. Well, it's a ministry that we've started several years ago, and we found that there were several women from our parish alone that had gone through breast cancer. And we chose pink and breast cancer because that's what we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just offered a chance to pray for these people when we would hear of someone newly diagnosed from anybody. We would add them to our list, and we'd start praying for them. We would get in touch with them if we can send a card or a gift box of some sort. We actually have two warriors, and one in Dublin and one in England. And so that's been really cool to be global. But we have found that those prayers are just amazing. Mm-hmm. And some people have had to go through it without a husband, without support from a family. They were living alone, or, you know, their family was too far away, and just to know that we were praying for them just gave them so much comfort.
And I understand that you're going to be blogging for WINE, which is Women in the New Evangelization,
mm-hmm.
one of the ministries that we are collaborating with here mm-hmm. in the Twin Cities. And Women in the New Evangelization is really growing, taking root, and you've been asked to be one of the bloggers. And I
yes,
know that's
yeah.
partly due to the fact that you're writing a book, too.
Yes. I was asked by Kelly, and very honored to do so, and it was really fun. So I hope I get asked again.
Well, I'm sure you will. You know, it's so good to talk to you, and we want to bring you back in the future. You're a great example of what to do when tragedy hits. And for those of you, you can probably tell just by her voice, she's got a smile on her face, and she's smiling right now. But that's what Jesus does in her life, is he takes the difficulties and he puts, it's not a fake smile, it's not a fake happiness, it's a true deep, deep joy. And this is what St. John Paul II said. He said, you cannot teach suffering in the objective. In other words, you can't come to a class and sit down for 4 hours and then say, oh, all right, I get it. It's a vocation, he said. Come follow me. And you don't get it until you follow him. And what do I mean by get it? It is that when you offer up your suffering in union with Jesus' suffering, your suffering fundamentally changes and it becomes valuable. It's like heavenly cash that you can apply to other people. And this is my final question for you, Rhonda. Were you aware of that at different times that you could actually, with the intention of your will and the joining of your will with Christ, offer up your suffering?
That's something I learned along the way as well. And that's something I've been bold enough to share with others, because mm-hmm. that's kind of an out there
sure
concept. But that is what I say. And the smallest of things is just, it doesn't necessarily take the pain away from you, but it is doing good. And it's getting heard and seen, and it's getting you closer to heaven.
Amen to that. Well, Paul said it to the Corinthians. He said to the dying out there and the unbelieving, the cross is foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it's life. And it is a paradox. People would say, well, you talk about embracing the cross and that it filled you with joy. Yes, because I found a way to love like Christ loves. And there's nothing like that in the world. than nothing better than to sense the love of God surging through you, even through your difficulties. So Rhonda, say hi to Val, and she's probably listening right now. Hello, Val, and to your three lovely daughters, and we hope to have you back. And I really want to hear, you know, how the Pink Prayer Warriors are doing in the future, and we want to stay in touch with you on your new book, too.
That'd be my pleasure. Thank you.
That's great. Talking to Rhonda Zwaber. And Rhonda, if people want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, right now, I just have my Caring Bridge site, and you can follow me just on Rhonda Zwaber. I'm in the process of starting a blog, and you can find me on Facebook.
Okay, so that's Zwaber, Z-W. E-B-E-R. It's like Weber with a Z in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A. Fantastic. Well, God bless you.
Thank you, Jeff.
We'll talk to you later. When we come back here on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk with Jeff Schaefer. He, too, has been through quite an ordeal involving his wife and daughter, and we're going to find out how God has really done a work in his heart. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away.
Rediscover.
I was the father of three children, a husband of a wonderful wife. On January 18th, 1989, I died. When I woke up, I was in heaven.
Experience the incredible true story based on the New York Times bestseller by Pastor Don Piper. This fall, hope lives.
You prayed? I'm here.
90 Minutes in Heaven, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theater September 11th. Find a theater at 90MinutesInHeavenTheMovie.com.
Hi, Bob Bennis for the Relevant Radio Network. Here's part of a letter from restaurant owner Gino Reale. Gino writes,
I heard testimonials from advertisers over the years. I was skeptical. As a business owner, I've done advertising, television, giveaways, newspapers, etc. Extremely costly, less than satisfactory results. With Relevant Radio, I support this mission. The results are astounding, and I've seen a dramatic flow of new customers daily.
Thanks, Gino. Email us at advertising@relevantradio.com.
So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Boy, don't you like that beautiful music? Yeah, that's something I would encourage you to do in difficult times that has really been a blessing in my life, and that is go out and get some good praise music. You can go online, you can go over to Leaflet Missile, you can go over to St. George and in any of the stores in the Twin Cities, or the Catholic stores, get some good praise music, play it in the car. You don't need to listen to, you know, some of the bad news in the world all the time. You can start praising God, and it has a way of lifting you up, the way that Saul was lifted up when King David played on his harp. We're talking today about overcoming difficulties, and we had a great talk with Rhonda Zwaber. I'd like to introduce you now to Jeff Schaefer, and Jeff is another brother in the Lord here in the Twin Cities who himself has gone through some very, very difficult times, and his life changed in a radical way on July 28th, 2011, and his life was turned upside down when he lost his wife, Michelle, to a courageous battle with breast cancer. But then on March 19th, 2015, his daughter Paige was diagnosed with leukemia. And he joins us now. And Jeff, it's so good to have you on the show and to talk to a fellow brother who is in the midst of the battle.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity.
And I know that we were going to talk to Paige today. And now is she a junior at Rosemont?
She's a senior at Rosemont, and we are actually at the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital right now, where she's receiving treatment right now.
Oh, okay. Jeff, tell us a little bit about Michelle and what was happening in your life at that particular time, and how life really changed for you and your family.
Michelle was a devout Catholic. Went to St. Joe's in West St. Paul, went to the visitation. You know, we were married and we had four wonderful children. And then in March of 2010, kind of through a self-diagnosis, she found something. And then went in and it was discovered that it was breast cancer. And early on, it was considered a kind of a stage two, but after biopsy, it moved to stage three, and it was a triple negative, which happens to be one of the more severe types of breast cancer. And she fought courageously for 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, and she went through probably about 25 chemo treatments and roughly about 60 radiation treatments during that time. So, it was a point in time where I was in shock and awe of losing my best friend.
Sure.
You know, and soulmate, and coupled with the fact of here's a single dad with four children.
Right.
Paige being the oldest at that time at 13. So it was trying to assume not only the role of a father, but also trying to assume the role of what Michelle did on a daily basis in terms of running the house.
Mm-hmm. So when you heard the news, like so many who hear the word cancer, we were talking about earlier, you can become numb. It can really hit you. How did your faith, Jeff, come into play in those early days?
That is something that probably helped pull us through on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it was kind of through daily devotion and also the community that we're a part of. We belong to St. Joe's in Rosemont, and we send all of our kids through St. Joe's in Rosemont, and in the parish there, the support and the community of not only St. Joe's, but the entire Rosemont community has extended itself that so much that we're so blessed to have such support that in and of itself was such a blessing to have and continue to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think you go to the same parish, I believe, as Justina Hausman, and
we know the Hausman family quite well.
You know them quite well, and Justina, in fact, next week is going to be on the show talking once again about losing her father on the 35W bridge. Which, interestingly enough, she's getting married today. She's getting married today on Friday in the Twin Cities, and it's going to be a beautiful wedding. We're going to be there. But were you a part of her father's life also?
I knew Peter. I knew Peter and Helen, and then their son David is in Paige's class, and they also have a daughter, Teresa, who is in my son Grant's class. So we do know the family, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past 4 years, I've continued to remain in contact with Andrew, who just completed his degree out at Harvard.
So when families go through this and they're in the same church or they know each other in the same community, talk to us a little bit about supporting and helping one another, because I know that you have been a support to them. But talk to us about how the church came to your side when Michelle passed and Michelle was going through the struggle with cancer. And I think it's a good example to those listening that we're not alone, and you weren't alone either, were you?
No, not at all. And I have to say, literally after Michelle passed away, one of the first, if not the first family to come out to our house to sit down was the Hausman family. And they came out and having experienced grief through their loss of their father, you know, the Hausman kids came out and met with my kids. And it was such a feeling of comfort just knowing, hey, somebody has walked these shoes before us, but they're extending themselves to be with us. And Father Paul Jarvis was a new priest to St. Joe's at the time that Michelle was sick, and he extended himself so much to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a difficult time, not only at the time that Michelle was sick, but also immediately thereafter. It was tough to at times even to walk back into church because we would always sit in the same, you know, sit in the same section of church, and I had difficulty with that, you know. And I talked to Father Paul, and he goes, you know, life is about starting anew sometimes, and he goes, just take it simple and try a different view. And so now we sit in a different section of church, and but it doesn't take away from where we were. And just the help and guidance that Father Paul helped was tremendous.
And how many children do you have, Jeff?
I have four children.
You have four children.
11, 13, 15, 17.
You know, I've often said that people who go through suffering like you have gone through and are going through, we want to talk about Paige in just a few minutes, but you have in your suffering a unique perspective that, frankly, is the fear of a lot of people listening, is they say, I don't want that perspective. I don't want to know what that's like. But once you have gone through it, you do have a different perspective. Have you found that God has brought people into your life for you to encourage others?
Oh, very much so. You know, I've people have gone through difficulties, and they've kind of reached to me to say, hey, how do you do this?
Right.
You know, how do you find that inner strength and inner faith? And maybe that's the good in all of this, is that It affords us the opportunity as a family to be able to give back and to be there for that next family down the road.
But you're also a father, and you have four kids, and naturally the kids are going to look to you and they're going to ask those ultimate questions of, Dad, why? And how come this happened to Mom? And now we find out that their sibling Paige was diagnosed with leukemia. As a father, what do you say to your children? As a strong Catholic man, what do you say to your children when they ask the questions of, how come this is happening?
That's a great question. I ask that of myself at times. And, you know, it's one of those that God gives us what we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
At times I've said, God, my shoulders are getting sore, but... you know, he does give us what we can handle. And Jeff, it has not been easy.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been easy, but I tell the kids that today's a blessing and tomorrow's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
In that we have to view life in that context.
Talk to us a little bit about Paige. You're at the University of Minnesota, even as we speak. She's getting treatment right now, and you're with her. Tell us, we were going to talk to her, but she's in the middle of the treatment, so you can speak for her. Tell us about her diagnosis and how this has impacted the family and her faith.
Paige was diagnosed with ALL T-cell leukemia in March, and to date, Jeff, she's probably gone through roughly 40 chemo treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And just in September and October, she's probably going to go through roughly 15 to 20 more.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been a very arduous journey for her. Paige is just a great kid. Her personality is infectious. She's a fun-loving girl that people attract to. She's very committed to her faith. You know, we listen to a faith-based radio when we drive in every time to chemo, and we talk about, hey, it's one more day of our journey that's behind us.
Sure.
And she's a great kid, but she's tough as nails like her mother.
Well,
she really, truly is.
I was going to ask you about that. Your wife, Michelle, was strong in the faith, and you mentioned that, a very strong woman in the faith. What do you think Michelle gave Paige that allows Paige to be strong too?
I think she gave her a lot of characteristics. I think her ability to reach people, to connect with people, especially during this time. Paige is extremely approachable, but I think that Michelle instilled in all of us a sense of family and how important family is and how important God is. And there's so many people and priests that were involved in Michelle's journey that we haven't forgotten that. And that's something that's really instilled in Paige.
Uh-huh. You know, when Michelle was going through her cancer and fighting that battle very, very courageously, you think to yourself as a parent, you know, I am setting an example, and this is something, frankly, for all parents to really get a hold of, is that everyday struggles in your life, you're setting an example for your children on how to deal with stress, how to deal with loss, how to deal with sickness, and in some cases, terminal sickness. And so your life becomes kind of a stage on which your children can learn. But you, Jeff, you had no idea that one of your four children would be experiencing that so soon, and that Michelle's example would become so valuable. Has Paige commented on that to you, of just the value of and the treasure that her mother gave her?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she looks up to Michelle's strength. In Paige was old enough so she can still remember, you know, all the battles and just how tough she was mentally to continue with her faith, but also mentally tough to just fight the day-to-day treatments and the chemo.
Mm-hmm.
Instill in Paige that, you know, the character values. It's just in this amount of examples that Michelle demonstrated and exhibited to Paige.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I do want to encourage all of our listeners to pray for you and to pray for Paige and the family. Jeff, we just have a few minutes left here, and I'd like to know, because some people say, well, wow, you're bringing a guy on the show who is in the midst of going, or it's not a story from 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you're actually in the midst of it. And I think that the value of that, and I appreciate you coming on the show, Jeff, because I know that it's difficult to talk about, but the value is that you are a brother in the Lord who can actually speak to us in the midst of it and give people hope and encouragement. With a couple minutes that we have left, Jeff, can you share with us a couple of disciplines, spiritual disciplines in your life that you would say really have made a difference and are making a difference?
Yeah, I think the spiritual disciplines are, you know, to make sure that as we continue to walk day to day, that we don't know what that person next to us is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a big thing that we have learned as a family, is we don't know what that next family is going through. They could be going through similar, if not a worse situation.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to treat people with respect. But it's also a matter of, you know, the daily devotions that we've taken time to instill in ourselves.
What are some of those?
Well, I think some of it is just a matter of spending time with God and talking to God in appreciating the day, as I said before, is appreciating today in asking for help along the way. This has not been an easy journey. My last 5 years has been extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just asking for help and assistance along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a daily devotions, but it's also making sure that we're there for the other family, as I said before, but also the community in general. I just cannot say that enough, Jeff. Is our St. Joe's community and the Rosemont community has been there for so much. I just my heart is just so blessed by having them in our lives.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're at the University of Minnesota right now in the midst of it, and you've taken the time to be an encouragement to us. If people would like to know more about Paige and pray for her, is there a Caring Bridge site?
Yes, there is. Paige Schaefer, P-A-I-G-E, last name Schaefer, S-H-A-F-F-E-R.
S-H-A-F-F-E-R. You've got our prayers, Jeff. We're going to be praying for you. And thank you for being so courageous and giving a gift to us today and in kind of an insight into how to deal with very difficult news. And give Paige our love. Will you do that for us today?
I definitely will. And Jeff, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for all the support.
You got
it. Be sure to tell the Houseman hello for me.
I will, and they're going to have a beautiful wedding today. That's Jeff Schaefer. And folks, go to Caring Bridge. Not only Rhonda Zweber earlier, but Paige Schaefer. And be an encouragement. Maybe you could share a scripture. Maybe you could share, you know, a word of encouragement. We are the body of Christ. And as we get ready to conclude this show, I want to just take a moment to encourage you. If you are going through a difficulty right now, or somebody in your life is, you've got an opportunity for evangelization. That is to encounter Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he died for every aspect of your life, not just eternal life, not just your soul, but he died for your body, he died for your mind, and he died for your emotions, for everything. And he also died to give meaning to every area of your life. And that means that if you offer up your suffering in union with Christ, how do you do that? It's an act of the will. It's Jesus, I offer up my suffering with you. He changes your suffering and makes it salvific, and he gives you a small particle of the infinite treasury of God's redemptive suffering and his mercy and his grace. He gives you a little particle in your suffering, and you can actually apply that to loved ones. I love what Paul says in Colossians 1:24. He says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and I fill up in my body that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now, what could possibly be lacking in the sufferings of Christ? St. John Paul II said it, and St. Augustine said it. What's lacking? The participation of the mystical body of Christ. Why would God want us to join with him? Because he wants you to know the love of the cross. And when you offer up your suffering in union with Jesus, you can taste the love. You can feel the love of God moving through you to other people. I love it, and I'll finish with this, a great quote from a woman about 100 years ago. She said, in suffering, you have a precious coin. You have a precious coin that can purchase what cannot be bought. And that is the redemptive grace. And you can even apply that to your children. Jeff Schaefer is a good example of that. Rhonda Zweber is a good example of that. How about you and me? Let's make our suffering count. And at the same time, let's relieve the suffering of others. And let's give meaning to suffering by going out and exercising this great gift of evangelization in the church. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're going to come back in a moment. So many things happening in the Twin Cities. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Rediscover.
I'm Chris Burr, a Relevant Radio listener in the Twin Cities. I recently made the decision to be a sponsor after realizing how much sense it made for listeners to understand the real benefits offered by a reverse mortgage at Cornerstone. For many years, I've been helping seniors to live more confidently in their retirement. I live right here in the Twin Cities and can spend the time on the phone or in person to help you live more comfortably, make home improvements, or just give you financial peace of mind to stay in your home. I've been explaining reverse mortgages for years to help seniors understand the benefits to help fit their specific situation. I hope you'll call me if you'd like to know more about reverse mortgages. Again, my name is Chris Burr with Cornerstone Home Lending. I can be reached today at 651-341-0535.
Cornerstone Home Lending is an equal opportunity lender, NMLS number 422758.
In just a few minutes, I can share the details on how a reverse mortgage can offer peace of mind and security. 651-341-0535.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, bow the simple made divine.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, joined by Paul Sadek at the end of the show here.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we have got a lot going on. Besides Hope on a Stick on the show, we got a lot going on in the Twin Cities.
A lot going on. Are you in need of God's healing grace of body, mind, and soul? Dr. Bob Schutz is a licensed marriage and family therapist who has integrated the teachings of St. John Paul II and the Catholic faith with his professional expertise. Dr. Schutz and his team will present a Healing the Whole Person retreat at St. Bonaventure Catholic Church in Bloomington, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. Online registration closed, but you can still register at the door Thursday, September 17th, 6 p.m. for $189. Find out more at JP2, that's JPIIHealingCenter.org. That's JPIIHealingCenter.org.
St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. Ah, Chanhassen, I remember the frontier days. Well, they invite you to a parish party and all-school reunion to commemorate their 150th anniversary. It's Saturday, September 12th. Come for Mass at 5:15, and the celebration follows with live entertainment, a beer tent, kids games, fireworks, and more. More online at St. Hubert, that's sthubert.org.
What's coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Coming up next week on the Rediscover, we got a great show. Last fall, we talked with Justina Hausman, and Jeff Schaefer referred to her earlier. We talked to her about her father's passing during the I-35 bridge collapse back in 2007. On the next Rediscover Hour, we'll once again talk with Justina about overcoming tragedy, especially as she prepares for her upcoming wedding, which is today, Friday. We'll also hear from Nick and Natalie Hall, who lost their son this past spring. Their son, Joe, was a former missionary with St. Paul Outreach. So you can see we got a theme going for a couple weeks. We're going to talk about how to overcome on the Rediscover Hour. Have a great weekend.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.